You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We're in this series, The Struggle is Real. And, you know, that's not something we love to shout amen to, but the struggle is real. There is struggle. There's just differences. I don't know that so much that this is a struggle. I just found it humorous. And I'd already said the struggle is real, so now I'm going to tie it together. But anyway, we got up this morning, Liz said, did you hear the wind blow last night? And I said, oh, man, I thought everything on our balcony was blowing off. And so she went around and stepped on the balcony. She said, everything here. And she goes, oh, this is awesome. And I said, it's warm outside? She goes, no, it's cold. And I just thought, men, women, the struggle is real. It's just, I was looking for warm, and she says it's cold. The warmer, the better for me, and she wants to wear boots and a coat. So anyway, we'll do that for a little bit. We talked a lot about our flesh. Our struggle is against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We have three enemies that want to undermine the purpose and the power of God in our life, distract us, steal from us, captivate our minds, our money, undermine our morality. The enemy does everything he possibly can through these avenues to try to defeat us as children of God. And we've talked a lot about the fact that once we become children of God, once we're brand new in Jesus Christ, the spirit man has come alive, then these two natures are at work. You know, I would like to tell you that when you get saved, you're never going to have to deal with your flesh. But there is a battle. And we stayed in Romans 7 and 8 for several weeks talking about the battle, the thing I want to do, I don't do, the thing I don't want to do, I do. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Talking about how death is literally chained on us and we carry around all of the shame and guilt and all the heaviness of living in this world. And we do that as followers of Christ, but how Jesus has come to give us life, life more abundantly. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we rest and focus on the cross, the Holy Spirit, the power of the cross. If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, give us new thoughts, thoughts on the Holy Spirit, your thoughts. And then, Lord, I have a power to say no. I have a new power because of the Holy Spirit's power in my life. And so we walk through how we overcome the flesh. This morning we're going to look a little bit, building off that and then off of what Luke talked to us about last week and why bad things happen, how this is a broken world. We're going to pick up on that and talk a little bit more about the world. Everything in this world focuses against you to keep you from living by faith or living faithful. The Bible tells us this in Luke 18 and verse number 8. I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? When Jesus comes, when he returns, is he going to find faith here? And that's the battle the world comes against us with. It's to undermine faith. It's to undermine faith in God, belief in God. Is there really a God? to undermine faith in God's word. Is God's word really accurate? Is God's word really the truth? Did God say? Is this what God means? And so there's this undermining of faith. We live in a world where people don't want absolutes. Now, the hypocrisy of the world is at an all-time high. The world doesn't want absolutes. They don't want foundations, parameters. They don't want Bible in the school. They don't want to have prayer in schools. Let me just tell you this. There's always going to be prayer in school. As long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school. But the world wants to take the word of God out of government, take Christ out of Christmas. We know all of these type things, no absolutes. But then we look around in today's world and we see the world trying to correct itself. But it has no moral authority because it doesn't stand on the word of God. So don't be deceived by everything that's happening in Hollywood right now, because actually they've created the culture that they now are despising, because they have pushed the limits of filth and nudity, of pornography, under a thin line of pedophilia, homosexuality, the agenda that Hollywood has pushed, and now all of a sudden they act surprised. But it's been what they have been jamming down our throats for a generation or more. And so there's this whole society that doesn't have absolute faith. We know that without faith in God, without faith in his word, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. And so I want us to look not only at God's faith, we're talking about our response, God's faithfulness to us, but our response. Will he find faith? Does he find faith at the Allen Church? Does he find faith in our lives? The Bible speaks of the importance of faith. It says this, that God is looking for faithful people. First or Second Chronicles 16:9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless. Not perfect, but blameless, or faithful, if you will, towards him. He wants to give strong support to those who are blameless or those who are faithful. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? That would be a great life verse. God's looking through this whole earth to find someone who's blameless or someone who is faithful. Let me say it this way. God's looking for people to use for his glory. And if you get usable, that's what faithfulness is all about. If you get usable, he'll wear you out. In a good way, amen? Listen, if you get blessable, I don't even know if that's a word. Is that a word? My family tells me I make up words all the time. If you get blessable, he will bless your socks off. That's why I don't wear socks. He blessed them off. And I live on a beach. See, God says, I'll use you if you'll be usable. God's looking for people. Faithful people that he can use. Here's a second thing in this introduction I want you to see. Faithful people are hard to find. Faithful people are hard to find. People who truly trust God with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength are actually quite rare. The Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? Question mark. See, a lot of people talk the talk. A lot of people say, man, I love Jesus, I'm faithful. But they really don't trust God. They really don't believe God. We trust the bank, we trust the credit card, we trust institutions that tomorrow morning could absolutely be gone. But we'll trust money. We'll trust health. Health can be gone in a moment. We'll trust jobs that have no security. We say we trust God. I'm just trying to provoke a thought within you today. Do you trust God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, or do you lean upon your intellect? Do you lean upon your resource? Do you lean upon all that you have and all that you are? The Bible says this in Psalm 53, verses 2 and 3. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. Is there anybody that'll seek after God? The psalmist goes on to say, they have all fallen away. Together they've become corrupt, and there's none who does good, not even one. See, God's looking for people that he can bless. People who are blessable. People who are going to live by faith. And God's definition of faith is different than our definition of faith. Do we trust God with everything? Literally, trust him. The Bible says to bring all of our petitions. Do we pray without ceasing? Do we pray about everything? Do we truly trust the Lord? So faithful people are hard to find. Here's the third thing in the introduction. Faithfulness is the key to blessing. Faithfulness is the key to blessing. The Bible says in 1 John 5, 4 and 5, for everyone who has been born of God, I love this verse, quoted often, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? The key to being blessed in your life is being a faithful man, a faithful woman, a faith-filled man, a faith-filled woman. How are you going to overcome your problems? What's it say in 1 John? And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So we don't overcome the world through natural strategies. We don't overcome the world through our minds, our intellect. We don't overcome the world by our money, by our creativity, by our willpower. But it's by your faith that you overcome difficulties. It's by your faith you overcome the distress, the heaviness, the despair. See, here's what I want you to know. It's not just pie in the sky. Every child of God can overcome. Amen. Every child of God can have victory in their life. How? Through faith. That doesn't mean we don't have battle and struggle and sickness and difficulty and distress. It just means we approach these in a different way, and we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. no one can defeat the world without having faith in Jesus. Look at this verse. Look at verse number 5. Who is it? Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Amen. Amen. The Bible says this in Proverbs 28 and verse 20. A faithful man will abound with blessing, but whoever hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. As your pastor and as your friend, I want you to have blessing. I want you to have physical blessing, financial blessing, emotional blessing, spiritual blessing, vocational blessing, mental blessing, social blessing. And I want to tell you how to do it. Faithful. And faithful in our minds is different than God's faithful. Faithful, faith-filled is trusting God with everything that's in your life. And it's the key. A faith-filled man will be richly blessed. A faithful man will abound with blessing. In order for us to live a life of blessing, we have to learn faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faith in God is what allows you to be faithful to God. And it sets the stage for blessing. I love this, don't you? I'm not going to preach according to your response because it's better. It's better than the way you just responded. I love this. Amen. It's the way to blessing. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. How can I be faithful? What does this whole idea? Because we recognize God honors faithfulness. There's not a lot of people faithful according to God's word. We think we're faithful. But in definition to God's word, we do a lot of things on our own, out of our own experience, out of our own ability. So what is the foundation of faithfulness, of how to be faithful? Here it is. Let me give you 3 or 4 things this morning. How can I be faithful? These are ways that, according to Scripture, really you can test how God tests faithfulness in us. In little things test my integrity. God uses little things to test my integrity. See, the big crisis in life reveal leadership. Hear that. Big crisis reveals leadership. But leadership is not built in the big things of life. Leadership, faithfulness, is built in the small things. Listen to me. It's in integrity. It's where integrity shows up. It's how you follow through. It's how you do your job with excellence, without complaining. It's attention to detail. It's the stuff that nobody sees. It's showing up and showing up on time and being diligent and staying committed and working hard. Faithfulness requires integrity. Faithful people reveal their integrity in the small unseen stuff that most of us never see. You know, David is a good example. David, of course, killed Goliath as a young man. And some people say, well, yeah, that's it. But his faithfulness is in killing a bear and a lion. No, I think those are big things too. Giants are big. I think bears and lions are pretty good size too. His faithfulness was in watching those stinking sheep. that he was assigned to because he was the youngest in the family, and that was his responsibility to go out there. I believe his faithfulness to watching sheep when no one saw, to care, that he becomes this wonderful shepherd and knows about the great shepherd. Where did all, there was an incredible learning experience that no one saw what he was doing. He stuck on the backside of the desert and no one gave him a that a boy. No one said, good job. That's where leadership is built. That's where integrity is established. Look at this verse. Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. One who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. What he's saying here is this: your public blessing is determined by your private integrity. Your public blessing is determined by your private integrity. We hear politicians all the time, and defenders of certain politicians say, well, that is their private life. That's their private life, but that's not their public life, and that's not the way they've been in public. And let me just remind you, you cannot separate private life and public life. It has everything. Private life has everything to do with leadership and being a leader, because I believe this: if a man will lie to his wife, he'll lie to his constituents. If a man will lie to his best friend on this vow, till death do us part, and be dishonest and reject and cheat on her, let me tell you something, he'll cheat on every voter. Because character matters. Count on it. Public blessing comes because of private integrity. The one who is dishonest in little is dishonest in much. Look at verse number 12. And if you have been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So he talks about private integrity here, and little things test my integrity. So private integrity, what I view, how I live my life when no one is looking. You know, the character is who people think you are. You've heard this before. Integrity is who God and your wife knows who you are. There's a difference between character and integrity. And so he talks about this private integrity. And I could go into a list, and I could go into a lot of things. But I believe the Holy Spirit's here this morning. He touches our hearts about how we handle ourselves, conduct ourselves in private. Amen? And then, in this verse number 12, he says, and if you've been faithful in that which is another, who will give you that which is your own? In essence, he's talking about apprenticeship. We don't use that word much. We talk more about internships. But he's talking here about apprenticeship. That before God gives you something, he often loans you something to see how you will work with somebody else's. For centuries, the way you became a blacksmith, you became an apprentice, and you worked for that blacksmith. I think we still use the word apprentice in plumbing. They're an apprentice. If you were a mechanic, you wanted to be a mechanic, then you were an apprentice to a mechanic. You worked in a mechanic shop before you got your own shop. And in essence, Liz and I were apprenticed We didn't call it that. We were youth pastors. We were state youth directors before God entrusted us with his church to do it on his behalf. See, a lot of people are messed up at work in churches because they think they work for the church. They don't work for the church. I don't want this to sound egotistical, but they don't work for the church. They work for the pastor. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they'll have their own ministry, and then when they have their own ministry, guess who they work for? They work as under the Lord. We all have accountability. I don't want to discredit accountability. But when I was a youth pastor, I never worked for the church. I never felt called to a church. I always felt called to a man. I felt called to my pastors. They were the ones that interviewed me. They're the ones I went to work with. And so the youth group wasn't my youth group. It was their youth group. I was simply entrusted to lead their youth group. So I led the youth group as though it was the pastor's youth group and tried to do it in such a way that he was pleased with how I was ministering. That's what an apprentice does. And scripture says, if you've not been faithful in that which is another's. See, I know this. This church is not my church. This church is God's church. This is a comeback church. Satan tried to take this church out. God said no. And it's his church. So I pastor not as though I control. I pastor as though I'm trying to shepherd it for him. Hello? You translate this into every level of work. Hey, if somebody loans you your car, you don't treat that car disrespectful. You don't bring it back on a half tank of gas or an empty tank. You bring it back washed and full of gas, and you take care of it. Somebody gives you a condo for the weekend, you clean it up, and you take care of it. Why? Because if we are able to take care of what's another, then God, it will turn around and entrust us with more. It's how God works. Faithfulness. Listen, what he's talking about here is loyalty and faithfulness. I've had employees that have worked for me that I didn't feel were loyal, maybe not in something they said, but in how they acted. I always fear for someone who will talk bad about another person. Because if you talk bad about another person, just guess what? Somebody's gonna talk bad about you. You planted seed, and buddy, you got it coming. I don't relish that, but I warn you with that. Because loyalty is a big deal in the kingdom of God. And so what he's saying here is you've got to learn to be faithful, loyal, faithful in relationship. Listen, you don't like your boss, it doesn't matter whether you like him or not. You be faithful, you don't undermine him, you don't talk about him, you do, it's going to come back on your head. You reap what you sow. And so work, character, doesn't matter what they're like, you be faithful in the little things and be faithful to another man's, to whatever business you might be in, because God then will see your faithfulness, and out of your faithfulness, he entrusts us with more. Somebody say amen. People need to hear this. That's why we have such pathetic work ethic, because we feel entitled. No, that's not a biblical Christian perspective of how we work and how we take care of business. So it's integrity. Here, let me tell you something else. I got to hustle now. It's this. Talents test my unselfishness. Talents test my unselfishness. There's two thoughts here I'll give you real quick. Everyone here has gifts and talents. Some have more than others. But you have to decide in life who or what you're going to live for. Are you going to live for yourself, or are you going to live for others? And faithful people recognize they don't live for themselves. They realize their talents, their gifts, their ability to make money, whatever gifting they may have in life is not for their own benefit. It is for the benefit of others, to make the world a better place, to make the church a better place. So if you have a talent for art, one of our dear friends we spent 3 or 4 hours with, he works in a machine shop. He's no hippie buddy of mine, I love him to death. He had a dream to have an art shop. He now owns his own art shop. And people come from all over, and they you know, he has these things that they paint. But it's filled with paintings, got the cross and Jesus. What he's doing, when people walk in, they look at it, and it's like, wow, what? And explain this. What is this? And he realized art wasn't just a way to make some extra money, and art wasn't just a passion that he had, but art is a way that my friend is able to touch other people's lives and influence them. Whatever our gift is, some of you have the ability to be a mechanic, and you bless people. I think of Dale Biggs back here. What a blessing he has been to this church and keeping vans going and to our pastors and so many people here. And he helps the kingdom of God. Some of you are good in math, and I don't know what math has to do with anything, but some of you are good at it. I'm just kidding. Some of you are good at closing deals. Some of you are good at organizing. Some of you are good at trimming and gardening. Church grounds always looks awesome. Dodd Tingle works his tail off, making sure this place looks good. See, God made us different so that everything in the world gets done. If we were all alike, a lot of things wouldn't get done. Have you ever thought why God didn't just save us and take us on to heaven? Why would he leave us in broken bodies in a broken world for 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years? He puts you here because life is a test. Life is a temporary assignment. And he's watching to see if you're faithful here on earth to bless other people, because he's going to give you a greater reward and greater responsibility and a greater role in heaven. Sure. So, 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve another as good stewards of God's various grace. Let me share this second thought. And I hope this helps some folks. I don't know of a situation right now, but let me just lay this out there on this whole idea of talents test my unselfishness, because sometimes our talent, someone else is doing that job. And maybe there's not room for us. Does that mean that we shouldn't be a part of that body? No. We have some wonderful cross trainers in this church who maybe aren't in the exact place of their total gifting, but here's what they have said. I will use my gift and my talents wherever you can use me. And I think that is a great testament of faithfulness. Here's what the Bible says. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Just faithful. Two great themes, salvation and stewardship. Salvation, I've trusted Jesus for forgiveness. Stewardship, what I'm doing with my life for kingdom purposes. Amen. Let me stop there this morning. Because we get into these other things, it's going to take more time and we'll feel rushed. And I believe the Holy Spirit has some awesome things. Here's just a couple of ways. We're talking about integrity, and we're talking about our willingness, our availability in the kingdom. God's looking for faithful people. You know why? Because it's faithful people that he blesses. And Lord knows I want to be blessed. Don't you? Amen. Why faithfulness? Why faithfulness? Because it is a characteristic of who God is. He is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. He's faithful. He's shown mercy and grace. He's not judged us according to our sins. He sees good in us. He works with us. He's faithful. He's faithful. One of the things we'll talk about is giving up. And a lot of people give up. I'm so thankful he didn't give up on me. Because in my mind, there's not a lot of reasons I should be doing what I'm doing today. Except for the fact that God didn't give up. He didn't give up. What's our response to a God that's faithful? It's to love him, but it is to be faithful. Faithfulness, the root word is faith. And without God, faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is saying, God, I rely. I lean. I'm relying. I'm not trying to stand on my own, but I'm putting all my weight upon you.